Thank you, Emma. Now let's all get our hymnals for our offertory hymn. We'll stand and turn to page 603, When We All Get to Heaven. We'll sing the first, second, and last verse, 603.
Sick, the ones that were wanted to be here but were unable to come. I just pray that you bring healing to each one of them. And Father God, as we gather here today to feed upon your word, I just pray that you don't preach to Bruce and just use him, just speak through him, and give us the words we need to hear. I just pray for this part of the service, Lord. I just pray that you bless the gift and the giver, and may this offering be used for thy glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand for our praise song, page 315, His Name is Wonderful.
Master!
be seated.
Gentlemen, will you prepare the table, please?
Thank you.
As Jesus and his disciples were gathered together in the upper room prior to Jesus' crucifixion, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." And now we'll pray over the cup.
The Heavenly Father has a privilege to be among the believers that can gather and protect from the Lord's Supper.
Yes.
This part of it being the vine. I pray, dear God, that you bless the vine in a special way. It represents the blood of Jesus and it is
yes.
Someone here today that hasn't been washed in the blood. I pray, dear Lord, that they might accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior for their needs today and be washed in the blood. And thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Jesus then took the cup as they were still gathered together in the upper room. He said to his disciples, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. As often as you drink of this cup, do it in remembrance of me." After they had had communion, they went out, sang a hymn, and went out of the place. Not probably understanding exactly what was about to happen, but nonetheless joyful. So at this time, maybe we could just sing a verse of Amazing Grace, Miss Della. And after that, we're going to enjoy Ansley singing for us. So let's just sing a verse of that hymn.
And what if trials
commandments to fellowship with one another.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Everybody doing good today?
We are.
Look, Jesus is risen. We ought to be happy, have a smile on our face. Amen?
Amen.
We not at a funeral today now. Amen? All right. It's good to be back. I missed being here last week. I want to thank Brother Ralph Boswell for speaking in my absence and for everybody else that participated. We had a good time with our youth retreat, and we appreciate the opportunity to be able to go down there with them. And I just want to take a minute before we get started today to reflect a little bit about this past week. We lost a true icon in the ministry last week, Dr. Billy Graham. I don't know, did anybody in here ever have the opportunity to hear him at a crusade live? If you did, raise your hand. It's a few people. I'm so glad I got to go see him when I was in high school, actually, back in, I think it was 1977 or 78. They had a crusade in Atlanta at old Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. And it was quite an event. The stadium was packed out. Many hundreds and hundreds of people came down at the altar call. And just truly a humble man of God. You know, you never heard him get vindictive at all. He very seldom ever really harped about money and stuff like that, but God always blessed his ministry. And truly he'll be missed. I know heaven gained a true angel when he took his last breath. 99 years God blessed him with. That's great, isn't it? We'll truly miss him, but he leaves quite a legacy. A lot of his children are involved in ministry. And of course, what more can you say? You know, we all want to leave a legacy when we die. We hope and pray it'll be a positive one. And I can tell you right now, I believe Dr. Billy Graham left nothing but a positive legacy for people to build on. So I just wanted to take a second to just give him a little bit of honor today, because when I think of evangelist, he's the first person that comes to my mind. Just a true man of God who lived his life as he preached. He truly was not only a hearer of the word, but he was a doer of the word as well. And that's so important, because, you know, we have a lot of hearers of the word, but when we see somebody actually doing it, that's very important. Amen. And I'm just honored to having known him throughout my life. And I'm sure most of the rest of you feel the same way. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. How many of you glad you're in God's house? Amen.
Amen.
It's good to be here today, even though it's raining. You know, this will be our second trip to Athens we've made in the rain, but that's okay. You know what? The devil is not going to win. Amen. We're not going to let him win. We're thankful for the rain always. I hope and pray everybody's starting to feel better. I know I got a little sick at school the other day. I was a little bit under the weather, but I'm about to get back to the land of the living. You know, it's hard to keep me down. I have to get up and get about pretty quick around here. But I appreciate your prayers that were lifted up and everything. And we certainly want to continue to remember some of our families around here that are going through the losses of loved ones. And it was brought to my attention by Tony earlier today that Brother Dennis Mitchell had another heart attack yesterday. He had a problem with the graft that was done on his heart. He had bypass surgery not long ago, and one of the grafts evidently came loose from his heart, something to that effect, but they've got it repaired, I believe. Is that correct? And should be okay from it, so praise God for that. That was a scary thing to hear about. But it's good to be here today. Guys, I want to talk to you today. This is going to be a two-part sermon series here this week and next week. I want to talk to you about dealing with what I like to refer to as toxic relationships. What are toxins? You ever thought about that? Those of you that know a little bit about science and stuff, especially like pesticides and things like that, we think of them as being toxins and stuff. But a toxin is something that can actually cause damage. It can poison you. It can mess you up on the inside. So what I want to talk about today is I want to give you some things to look for to maybe help you decide whether or not you may be involved in a toxic relationship with your friends. It could be your family. It could be anybody. Because I believe that God wants the best for us. I always believe that. He wants His very best for us. He wants us to succeed. He doesn't want anybody to fail. But sometimes we set ourselves up for failure, don't we? by the people we choose to hang around a lot of times. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. You know, when God wants to bless you, how does He do it? He sends people into your lives, right? When He wants to bless you, He sends people along the way that can help bring that blessing from Him to you. Well, I want to ask you this question. When the devil wants to destroy you, how does he do it? He brings people, right? The same way God wants to bless you, the devil wants to try to curse you and bring you down. So it's all about who we choose to surround ourselves with. You know, many relationships are actually liabilities and not assets. I want everybody to understand that. A lot of relationships are actually liabilities. They're not assets to us. You know, a lot of times we feel like, well, I've got to have these friends and I need to hang around these friends and I've got to, you know, I've got to go over here and be with my family and my associates over here and I need to hang around there. Guys, if that relationship is bringing you down and it's not where God wants you to be, guys, we got to rethink that. We got to think about those things. Because, you know, if you're going to develop healthy relationships, guys, we got to first cut off the unhealthy ones that we've developed, right? If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Guys, we got to cut off some of the unhealthiness that we are choosing to hang around and choosing to let into our lives. How are you going to know if a relationship's unhealthy? Well, I want to give you three things that I think we can look for this morning. And then next week, I'm going to talk about, okay, so you've gotten involved in this. How do we get out of it? So next week, we're going to kind of focus on how we get out of these situations here. Because you know what? I want you to understand, we are to love everybody. Everybody understands that's the greatest and best commandment Jesus gave us, right? To love one another with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our being. To love God first that way and to love our fellow man and our neighbor as well. So we're commanded to love people. But nowhere in God's word does it say that we should continue to allow people to negatively influence our walk with the Lord. You're not going to see it. In fact, you're going to see scripture that's very contradictory to that fact. And that's what I want to help us understand today is God wants the best for us. If he didn't, he wouldn't have sent his son, right? He wouldn't have sent Jesus to die on the cross. How many of you are glad Jesus died for you?
Amen.
Amen. I know I am. Because if it hadn't been for his grace for us, there'd be no reason for us to even be here today. Really and truly, we'd all be doomed. We'd all have no hope. But we have hope. When you have Jesus in your life, you have hope. Amen.
Amen.
You're always going to have hope as long as you have him in your life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read one verse, and that is verse 14. I'm going to ask you, if you will, just get that oxygen flowing. Stand to your feet. It's only one verse, okay? I know some of you are saying, why are we having to stand up for one verse? Because if I let you sit too long, you'll be snoring in a minute. Amen. So I got to get you up at least one time. So let's look at verse 14. It says this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Father God, I just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Lord, please empty myself of me. Let it not be anything about me, Lord, but about you. And Lord, I just pray that you will speak through this message today the words you would want spoken, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So guys, that one verse right there is a pretty powerful verse and pretty well explains how God feels about his children as far as worldliness. Now, I've faced this many, many times, so I want to be sure and explain something to you here. Can we ever really separate ourselves completely from the world? It's not going to happen, right? We're not going to be able to completely just move over to this isolated island somewhere and live the rest of our lives where we won't come in contact with any negative influences. You know why that's impossible? Even if we could load everybody up in this room right now and go to some deserted, isolated island, Satan's still going to be there. He's running to and fro on this earth. He's given full reign on this earth. No matter where you go, you cannot hide from him as long as we're here on this earth. But see, what we got to understand is, we might not can run from him and hide from him, but we can sure battle him, amen? We can sure not let him get the upper hand in our lives. And that's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that, hey, a lot of the battle we have to fight against Satan relates to and revolves around relationships we choose to be involved with in the world. So I'm not here to bash or beat up people here today at all. I'm here to help us understand that if we're going to be all God wants us to be, we've got to surround ourselves with believers who are like-minded. And I want to go into that this morning. Now, let's take a look at these three potential indicators that I believe will help you understand whether or not you're in the right relationship. Now, guys, I'm not really focusing, although this could pertain to this, I'm not focusing on like boyfriend, girlfriend kind of relationships here. I'm mainly focusing today, although like I said, it could apply. I'm focusing on friendships, associations you have in the world through your work, and even family relationships here. That's what I'm focusing on here today. Because guys, I'm going to be honest with you. We have some, even in our own families, some toxic things that are going on. And we've got to be careful how we choose to surround ourselves with that. And I want to talk to you about that in just a minute. The first thing I believe is this. There will be, if you're in a potentially damaging relationship, here's one thing you're going to rest assured there'll be. There will be constant strife and division. There'll be constant strife and division. Because guys, a healthy relationship's one where there's a oneness of your goals, a oneness of your purpose, your values, and your beliefs. This is going to all come together. If the relationship is where God wants it to be, you're going to be like-minded when it comes to those things. You're going to value the same things. If you don't value something that God values, you're in the wrong relationship. If somebody you hang around doesn't value what God values, you may be in the wrong relationship. So we need to examine what it is we're looking for in life. How many of you are looking to be all you can be for God? Raise your hand. Amen. I want to be everything I can be for God. I'm not always going to accomplish that though, am I? You know why? Because I live in a fleshly body. You know why? Because I face the same devil you face every day. You know why? Because I live in the same world you live in. So I'm not going to always be able to rise above everything that's going on around me each and every day. But when I get out of bed each morning and I thank God for giving me another day and I say, Lord, take me and use me for whatever you want me to do today, I'm expecting Him to guide my way. I'm not getting up and saying, okay, devil, let me have it. Although I believe some people may wake up and say that some mornings, right? If you've hung around people long enough, you begin to wonder, my goodness, who's really in charge here? So guys, I want you to understand that there's going to always be division. God's word tells us in James chapter 3, verse 16, that where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Guys, when we hang around people who are envious and self-seeking and self-righteous, there's going to be all kinds of problems with that. Because, guys, people that are like that do not really have the fruit of the Spirit ingrained inside them. I'm talking about love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, long-suffering, patience, meekness. You don't see that in those types of people very often. They're all about themselves. Anybody know people that are all about themselves? I think I know a few, amen. But you know what, guys? God loves everybody. It doesn't matter if you're the most self-centered person in the world. Jesus loves you just as much as He loves me, amen? And that's what I want you to understand. It's not about where you came from. It's about where you're going. You don't have to remain that way. Nobody has to stay in the same condition they are any given day. And that's great, isn't it? What if at our worst moment in life, that was the best it would be for us? That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? But no, because we serve a risen Savior and we serve a God who loves us, our worst day can be a learning experience to give us our best day ever the next day, amen? That's what we got to understand. That's what we got to understand. So guys, our God is a God of order. He is a God of order. He is not a God of disorder and disarray. If you're hanging around people whose lives are in disarray and disorder and totally out of control, that's going against the very essence of God. God is a God of order. Look at how He ordered the universe. Look at how all creation was ordered. And on this day, this was created. And on this day, this was placed here. And on this day, man was created in His image. It was orderly. God didn't just, like scientists want to say, just make this big explosion and everything just went out where it would and just landed where it may. No, it was an orderly concept by which we came into existence. Amen. I don't know about you, but hey, When you start listening to all this Big Bang theory and all, you know, I believe in the Big Bang. I believe God may have one day said bang and then it all started. Amen? That could have been the way it happened. But I don't believe one second that God didn't have anything to do with it. He was in control of everything that happened in this world. In the creation of this world, in the creation of you and I. And guess what? He loves each and every person out here today. He wants what's best for you. He wants what's best for you. Guys, he set up lines of authority. And guys, when we violate those lines of authority, the door is open to every type of evil spirit to come into our lives. You don't get to choose the brand of evil spirits you want to come and tempt you every day. Guess what? Satan just brings it. And he brings his A game every day. I'm going to tell you that. He's after you every day. He's roaring around. He's prowling around like a lion seeking to devour anybody he can find. The question is, are we bringing our A game to fight him off every day? Are you surrounding yourself with godly people to help you fight the good fight? Are you surrounding yourself with the armor of God, the breastplate, the helmet, the sword, the shield? Are you carrying that into battle every day? Guys, we don't get to choose what kind of evil comes to us. When we get out of line with the way God's designed things to work, the devil has a right. He has a right to touch you with any form of evil he wants to. The way you keep the devil from touching you and reaching you, you fight. Well, preacher, I thought we were supposed to be peace-loving. Not when it comes to the devil. You got to fight. Amen. You got to fight him tooth and nail because he's going to be fighting for you every day. And guess what? Let me tell you something. A lot of times he's winning, amen? He's winning a lot of times. We're letting him win the battle. We don't have to do that. God has given us everything we need to be successful. Y'all realize that, right? Young people, he's giving you everything you need to be successful. Adults, he's giving you everything you need to be successful. He surrounded you with people you need to be successful. What are we doing to make sure we stay successful? Are we cherishing those relationships? Are we cultivating those relationships? Are we still trying to go back and dabble in the world where it's going to do nothing but tear us down and break us down? We got to continue to move in the direction God wants us to go. You know, strife and confusion will zap the energy from us. It'll drain our creativity. These things take our focus off what God has in store for each and every one of us, doesn't it? It zaps you. Man, I don't know about you, but when I'm around negativity, it zaps me. I can't be who I want to be when I'm hanging around negativity. Does anybody else feel that way or is that just me? Everybody feel that way? I mean, who likes to hang around a negative person? Does anybody in here likes to hang around somebody that's negative, that's always a pessimist about everything? Guys, that's why it's important to surround ourselves and build relationships with healthy people. People who are not going to poison us because of their negativity. That's what I want us to understand here. Now, number two. I want you to listen carefully to number two right here. This is another surefire indicator that could mean that a relationship you may be involved with is unhealthy. I call it the people who knew you back when syndrome. The people who knew you back when. How many of you are glad that we don't have to live back when anymore? Amen. If you know Jesus, you're living in the here and now. We're not looking back. Look forward. We're pressing ahead every day, right? But see, some people, they won't keep looking back in the past. These are people you don't need to be hanging around very closely. If anyone is constantly telling you, oh man, you're no fun anymore. You were a whole lot more fun when you used to do blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. That's a toxic relationship. And you as a born-again believer do not need to be involved with that. I didn't say you didn't need to love these people. I didn't say you didn't need to help lead them to Christ. I said you need to learn to love them from a distance. We talked about that on our retreat, loving from a distance. What I mean by that, guys, is we're still commanded to love them and we're still going to love them. But we cannot allow ourselves to get so close and so intertwined with them that they have a negative influence on us. One of the most dangerous relationships is the one that holds you to your past. That's one of the most dangerous relationships you can be in. One that holds you to your past. How many of you are glad you're not having to live like you used to live now? Amen. Amen. Boy, I tell you what. Thank God for His grace, for His forgiveness. If we had to live like we did 30, 40, 50, how many years ago it was before you got saved, some of you even less than that, some of you even less than a year. We're new creatures in Christ when we accept Jesus as our Savior. The old is gone, the new has come. And guys, that means we need to start cultivating some new relationships too. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to hit kind of hard right here, because a lot of people don't think of it this way too, but sometimes our own family can be toxic to us. That's tough to think about, isn't it? Sometimes our own family can be toxic to us. They can be throwing things at us. Well, why are you acting this way? You were more fun when you used to do this, and you don't ever want to be around us anymore. And you, why are you doing? Guys, let me tell you something. You're right where God wants you to be. Amen. You're right where He wants you to be. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus and you're moving toward the cross each and every day of your life, people have got to understand that. And if they can't accept you for that, guess what? We got to love them from a distance. We got to love them from a distance. You know, I know situations where I've got some relatives of mine right now. I can't go hang around with them on the weekends because we're of two different mindsets. Yeah, they're my family. Yes, I love them. But I'm not going to go and march back over in there and start hanging around with them. You know why? Because they're living the kind of life I used to live. I don't want that anymore. I don't want to be how I used to be 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Wait a minute, I got married 30 years ago. Beyond 30 years ago, amen? Okay, and I got to add my years up here. I don't want to say the wrong thing, amen? But you know, I don't want to be the way I used to be. I don't want to be around those kinds of people. And I'm not saying I'm better than them. In fact, I'm probably worse than them in some areas. But I cannot go back to where I came from. And it's okay. It may be your family. It may be your close friends. It may be your everyday associates at work. You've got to learn to distance yourself. Yeah, we're not going to be able to escape it. And yeah, if they're our family, we still got to love them and respect them. But guys, we got to understand, if we're going to believe what 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14 tells us, then we cannot be hanging around with people who don't believe like we do. And that's not being judgmental. So many people come back and say, well, you're just judging me. No, I'm not. I'm doing what God's called me to do. I'm doing what God's Word tells me to do. I'm not judging you. I'll leave that to God. Because if these types of friends and all and family and everybody, if they don't come to know Jesus before it's too late, then judgment is going to come without mercy. Do you understand? We serve a God who is going to judge without mercy those who refuse to accept Him as their Savior. There's going to be a judgment day come for both believers and non-believers. Guys, we want to try to help win the lost to Christ. But we can't do it in their backyard running around with them. That's not what the Scripture's trying to talk to us about here. It's talking to us about, hey, we still need to help. The sick definitely need a doctor. We need to bring that medicine to them, and that's Jesus. But we can't go back to where we came from. Everybody understand what I'm saying there? If you understand that, say amen. Everybody agree with that concept? Anybody believe that we should be hanging out and clubbing and going everywhere else with unbelievers on a Friday and Saturday night? If so, meet me after church, amen. We'll have a discussion. But anyhow, guys, we just got to understand that. You know, even Jesus went into His own country. He taught the people. They were amazed, but guess what? They were also offended at Him. They kept saying stuff like, isn't He just one of us? He's that carpenter's son. Why are y'all so excited about Him? He's nothing special. You know what? It got to the point that Jesus could not even do any miracles because of their unbelief. It wasn't that He was empty of His power. It wasn't that He couldn't do it. But He could not manifest the fullness of Himself when He was around unbelieving people. People who put Him down. You know, that's why the Bible says a prophet is not accepted in his own town a lot of times. Because people want to keep bringing up the past. They want to look at you as being this person that used to be. Or that was the son of this person or the son of that person. They don't look at you as to who you are. That's what we got to be careful about. Guys, the associations of your past can drag you down and hold you back. That's why in the book of 1 Corinthians it talks about in Christ we're a new creature. The old is gone. That means these old relationships I used to have with the world, gone. That means these old friends I used to have that would drag me down the wrong path, gone. That means, hey, these family members that used to do things around me and get me involved in things and not care about whether I did or I didn't do them, gone from a distance now. I'm going to still love them, but I'm not going to support that. You know where I think we make a grave mistake in our walk with the Lord? We compromise because we're afraid we'll offend somebody. Let me tell you something. It's better to compromise and maybe in their eyes they're offended than to disappoint God. Because I don't know about you, but I'm here to serve God. Amen. I'm not here to serve man. I'm here to serve God. I'm here to do what God's called me to do. Guys, these people can keep you from fulfilling your potential. I'm not talking about covenant relationships here necessarily, like husband and wife and that kind of stuff. But I'm rather talking about here friendships, business associations, casual acquaintances, or even distant or close relatives for that matter, who remind you continually of what people used to think of you. You ever have anybody you come in contact with from time to time that tries to say stuff like this? Oh, you just think you're this Christian. You did this and this and that. They bring back things you did in the past. You know what I say to people like that? Amen. You're exactly right. That's exactly what I used to do. Until I met the Master. Amen. Until I met somebody that changed my life and forever impacted me and made me realize that I need to get above that and I need to move away from that. Yeah, I did used to act that way. Guys, those old opinions, they were not God's opinions. They're opinions that don't relate to your tomorrow. They only relate to your yesterday. Don't let people's opinions of you relate to your yesterday. Guess what? That's over with. Can we go back and change anything that happened to us 30 seconds ago even? No, we can't, can we? Why are we so concerned about what happened to us 10 or 15 years ago or 10 or 15 minutes ago? You can't change what's happened in your life. But what you can do is you can change where your life heads from this point forward. And that's what I want to encourage everybody to understand and know. We don't have to remain like we are forever. We don't have to remain in the same rut that we may be stuck in right now. We can rise above it. God will help you get above where you are. And the third thing is this. The third sign could be what I call violators of the heart. Guys, these are relationships that prey on your heart and rob you of control over your life. In other words, these are people we're afraid we might hurt their feelings if we separate away from them. So what do? We allow them to gain complete control over us sometimes. Guys, we cannot let someone violate our heart to the point where we change the way we are. Guys, we should never give power to any person to have complete control over us. Nobody deserves this power but God. If you believe that, say amen. Nobody deserves to have complete power over us but God. Not our spouse, not our children, not our boyfriends, girlfriends, not our friends, not our business associates have the right to have complete control over us. No one but God deserves that right. No person can make you lose your joy, lose your mind, lose your temper, or any other aspect unless you give that person the power to do that. We give people the power to do that sometimes, don't we? We play right into their hands. Why? Because we're allowing them to manipulate us. And a lot of times it's because we're still trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church house. Guys, we got to separate away. We got to understand what we are and who we are. Once again, not meaning to be ugly toward anyone, but just learning to love them from a distance. That's what we've got to learn to do. Nobody deserves that power but God. Guys, you should never lose your identity for another person's sake. Don't ever lose who you are for another person's sake. Oh, well, if I don't change it, if I don't do this the way they want, they're not going to like me anymore. Good. Don't let them like you anymore.
Because if they're trying to get you to do something that's not a godly thing and what God wants you to do, you shouldn't be hanging around them anyway, amen? So that's the point I'm trying to make here. We got to learn to separate ourselves out and do what God wants us to do. You must continually take inventory of whether a person is drawing more from you than the person is giving to you. Guys, a healthy relationship is this. It's a give and take. It's not a give all and then they take all. It's a give and take. Whether that's a friendship, whether that's in your work. Those of you that are still working currently, it's no fun to go to work when everybody just takes from you and takes from you and never gives you back anything in return, is it? Any of you ever feel that way? I'm all take and no give. Well, guys, you know what? That makes for a potentially unhealthy relationship there. You know? But unfortunately, that's the way some people are. You're not going to change them. But guess what? If you go into your job every day with this attitude, God, you gave me this job. God, I'm going to glorify you the best I can. If other people don't recognize what I'm doing, as long as you recognize that I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing it with integrity and with honesty and with care, then that's all that's important to me. I don't care if I ever get in the newspaper about doing something great. I don't care if I ever hear my name on TV or on the radio. As long as I'm pleasing you, I'm doing good. Amen. That's the way we ought to feel. That's the way we ought to feel. Guys, a healthy relationship is a relationship in which there is a balance in that giving and taking. One where there's a mutual appreciation and a building up. One where there are honest words of appreciation given on a regular basis. Honest words of appreciation. How many times do you take a minute and tell people that are special in your life how much you appreciate them? How much you're thankful for what they do? Or do you just take it for granted that they're going to know that you care? Guys, I'm going to tell you what. Two of the most important words, well, three actually, that you can ever tell a person, please and thank you. Those are two of the most appreciative things you can show toward a person. And guys, we need to do that often. We need to tell the people that are important to us how important they are. We need to suck up this prideful thing that makes us feel uncomfortable about getting close to people and telling them that. Tell your people that you love them and you care for them. That's important. Doesn't it make you feel good when you hear that? Don't you want to hear that? I know that's what makes me feel good. That's what makes most everybody feel good is when people know that you care about them and you're willing to say that you do. It's important to hear those words of appreciation. And guys, I want to close by saying this. I mentioned it earlier in the message today. We got to realize sometimes we must learn to love from a distance. We may need to step out of an inner circle relationship that we're in right now. We may have some friends right now that are starting to pull us in the wrong direction. It's okay. We still are going to love them, but we're not going to go into their circle. We're not going to enter into their zone, so to speak. We're going to love them from a distance, and we're going to continue to try to reach them for Jesus if they need Him as their Savior. What I mean by that is, guys, in relationships where there are unbelievers involved, we must certainly not abandon them or quit loving them, but we cannot go back and be a part of that lifestyle that they're currently living. You know why? Because a lot of us came from that kind of lifestyle. We can't go back to it. That would be a very damaging thing for us to do. Guys, this may be former friends. This could even be your parents if they're living outside the will of God and you're trying your best to live for Jesus. This could be people you work with every day. It's so important, guys. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us that bad company corrupts good behavior. You see, there's so many scripture that talk about light and dark trying to coexist with each other that we've got to understand that God wants our undivided attention and our undivided lives to serving Him. He wants us to separate away from the things that caused us problems before. Don't let the influences of ungodly people affect your walk with Christ. Guys, everybody in this room has great potential to be great men and women of Jesus. We just got to think about some of the things we allow ourselves to get involved with. And we got to call away some of the things that we're starting to get a little too focused on and not being focused enough on serving Jesus. Guys, anything that pulls you away from serving God is an idol in your life. Do you understand that? I don't care what it is. It could be your phone. It could be your friends. It could be your wife. It could be your children. Anything that takes us away from serving God and giving Him 100% of our undivided attention can be considered an idol in our lives. We need to think about that each and every day. Now, next week, guys, I'm gonna wrap up this, and I'm going to talk about, okay, you preached a sermon that affects me right now. How do I get out of a situation I'm in? I'm going to give you some suggestions next week. So don't stay home next week. Now, I want you to hear the rest of this because, guys, there's hope. You know, yeah, maybe you've gotten into a situation where you shouldn't have maybe hung around with these friends and now they've pulled you into their circle with them. You can always step back. I'm going to give you some good suggestions for that next week. But guys, ultimately, the bottom line is this. Who controls our moves in life? We do. We control what we go out and do each and every day. You can never come home at the end of the day and say, wow, I just lost control. I don't know what was controlling me. I don't know why I did that. You know why you did it. You allowed the enemy to gain a foothold in your life that particular day. But guys, we can always fight him. You know why? Because we serve an awesome God who is always looking out for our best interest. Amen. Father God, I thank you for this day. I just pray, God, that your word was spoken today in a way that was understood. Lord, that it was brought with love and concern. And God, I just thank you for us being able to observe the Lord's Supper today. What an awesome time that is, Lord. Anytime we can remember what you did for us on that cross, it's always a great time. Lord, I continue to pray for those who need to come to know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that they won't continue to wait if they need to make that decision. But I pray that it'll be a decision they're making and not just to be doing something they don't really understand, Lord. Lord, I just pray if there are those that need to come up here to this altar in a few minutes and pray that they'll come. And God, I pray that you'll honor their prayers and that you'll answer their prayers, Father. And we're going to give you the praise ahead of time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Beth?
544.
Hymn number 544. Let's stand and sing hymn number 544.